Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. This message, I believe, is one of the most important principles that a believer can have in their life, in their frame of reference. This is really about how do we live with God in a way that is meaningful and successful, in a way that has eternal value. It's very easy for us to, as believers, to live with God, we think, because we do for God. How many people evaluate in their mind, they say, I will do this for God. And they will take the law, usually it's elements of the law, and I say, I will obey this element of the law for God. Like, oh, we're doing God some kind of a favor. But that's not how we really live as believers. We don't live according to the law. We live according to faith. It's not in the law, it's in faith. It's in the better hope, it's in a better way. It's not in the law that passed away with Christ on the cross where He was its completion. And yes, it said not one jot or tittle will pass away. But the law for righteousness' sake was never given. And so the mentality of the believer, as in the Old Testament, was I get to know God through the law is passed away. This is a new dispensation. This is the dispensation of grace. This is the dispensation of God's government. And we get to know God, and God is glorified in this dispensation through His government. But what does it mean that I have God's government? How does that manifest itself in a practical way in the believer's life? Open your Bibles, please, to Romans 9:21. The Word of God says, does not the potter have power over the clay? From the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, turn there please also. In verse 20, the Word of God says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In a great house there are two types of vessels, and the Lord has made them both. There are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Now, there are some commentators who tell you vessels of dishonor do the menial things. The vessels of honor do, like, the religious things. But that is not what those words actually mean. In Romans 9:21, does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Honor there is timian, of a state or condition of honor, of a rank and a dignity and a glory as conferred in reward. And it also refers to compensation, remuneration, that which is paid in honor of another's work. And the word dishonor is antimian, which means without honor, dishonor, disgrace, and ignominy. Folks, what this is talking about is not that one is destined and called for one service and another for another service. This is talking about those who are vessels. A vessel is not... You know what a vessel is? A vessel is something that is filled. It's not necessarily something that does something per se, although frequently it has a function. But a vessel is something you fill. And some vessels are filled with honor, and other vessels are filled with dishonor. And we are told that in the same house, So this is talking about believers. There are believers whose life is filled with honor, and there are believers whose life is filled with dishonor. And honor there is talking about those believers who will get rewarded by God. And it's not just a Bema seat issue. It's an issue now. Because remember, the Bema seat, in a manner of speaking, starts now. Because our opportunities for the Bema seat are now. So either now I have a vessel of honor, in which case my life is filled with honor. Over here in 2 Timothy it says, prepare for every good work. What does good mean? Good means divine virtue. That's what good means. Divine virtue. So either I am a vessel that is filled with divine virtue, not human good, because human good is just the good side of the tree of knowledge. But either I am a vessel filled with divine virtue, or I am a vessel filled with disgrace. And that vessel is now. It's not later, folks. It's now. I live in divine honor, or I live in divine dishonor. I am filled with the honor of God, or I am filled with the disgrace of the old sin nature. I am not both. One vessel in the same house is a vessel of honor. Another vessel is a vessel of dishonor. Which one am I going to be? Am I going to be a vessel of honor? Or am I going to be a vessel of dishonor? What does it mean that I am a vessel of honor? I'm a vessel filled with divine virtue. Where does divine virtue come from? It comes from the character of God. Divine virtue comes from the character of God. It turns a person in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. It transforms their life. It's the thing that turns their heart. The divine virtue turns their heart. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be a vessel of honor. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Now the word fornication there, while yes, one meaning of it is fornication, but that is a small fraction of the actual meaning of that word. It's the Greek word porneias, and it stands for idolatry, forsaking the true God in order to worship idols. What is an idol? Anything that I put in my life ahead of God. If I know what is God's will and I do not do it, it is sin. Because to know what is right and do it not is sin. That is a type of fornication. If there is something that I pursue that God has not given me and I know it is not right from God, but I say, I don't care, I want it, that is a type of fornication. It's an idolatry. Why is it called fornication? Because I'm having intercourse with false gods. That's why it is called fornication. So if I'm to possess my own vessel in sanctification, that means that my vessel is set apart unto God. My vessel is not set apart unto the world. My vessel rejects the things of the world. My vessel rejects the things that are not of God. My vessel rejects the things that are of the old sin nature. My vessel does not entertain them. It rejects them. In my vessel, I build faith. I fill my vessel with faith. In my vessel, I have purity. I fill my vessel with purity. In my vessel, I have practical righteousness. I fill my vessel with practical righteousness. in my vessel, I respond to the Savior. I fill my vessel with response to the Savior. In my vessel, I have faith obedience. I fill my vessel with faith obedience. I have faith rest, and I fill my vessel with faith rest. I have the finished work, and I fill my vessel with the finished work. I have the love and the mercy of God, and I fill my vessel with the love and the mercy of God. This is how I become a vessel of honor. A vessel of dishonor takes things, elevates them above God. I heard a message from Pastor Stevens this morning, as a matter of fact. He defined something, I think, very uniquely but very clearly. Pride and arrogance. Pride is when I exalt myself against you. Arrogance is when I exalt myself against God's Word. I take God's Word and I put my opinion first. Why don't so many believers soul win? Because they're arrogant. They say to themselves, I don't have to soul win. They say to themselves, even though God said, go out and win the lost and make disciples and go into all the world doing it, they say, yes, He said that, but I don't have to. Why? I'm exalting my opinion against God's Word. That is arrogance. This is what a vessel of dishonor does. Arrogance is the manifestation of pride in the heart. This is what a vessel of dishonor does. A vessel of dishonor says, I will use my understanding, my natural intellect, to rationalize away faith. I will use natural thinking, natural preferences to rationalize away obedience. I will use these things to rationalize away specific and precise detail of life, walk with God. I will rationalize it away. It's a vessel of dishonor. In Proverbs 22 and verse 4, the Word of God says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs gives two paths to honor. If I want to be a vessel of honor, I live in humility and the fear of the Lord. People who do not respond to God in faith, people who rationalize with their own minds rather than trusting God, regardless of sight or anything else, understanding, people, whatever. These are people who are establishing their thoughts and their emotions and their viewpoint above God's ways, above God's Word, above God's thoughts. I can't do that. I can't do that. That's a vessel of dishonor. A vessel of honor is a vessel that is used by God for God's glory. A vessel of honor is a vessel that is Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. A vessel of honor is a vessel that hears from the Holy Spirit as it communes with Him. That's a vessel of honor. A vessel of dishonor will live in its emotions. A vessel of dishonor will respond on a horizontal plateau with no vertical relationship with the Savior in a practical sense, moment by moment in life. Let's have vessels of honor. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's be vessels of honor. The world says to you, be a vessel of dishonor. And the world will glamorize dishonor. Look at the television. What is on the television? Don't look at the television, but what I'm saying is, for example, the television. What do they put on the television? Vessels of dishonor. What is television about? So much of it about, I don't know the percentage, but I'd say it's probably a large majority, is about fornication. It's a vessel of dishonor. or violence. It's a vessel of dishonor. And yet believers are feeding their minds in the vessel of on dishonor and filling their vessel with dishonor. And even though believers would never dream of doing those things, they let themselves be entertained by those things as though it was even entertaining. What is this? What is entertaining about fornication or seeing somebody get killed? These things are evil. These things are not entertaining. They should be appalling and shocking. But how many, not this crowd here, I know that, but how many believers are there and saying, this is so much fun? Well, you're filling your vessel with dishonor in your frame of reference. And whatever enters into your frame of reference will ultimately dictate your thoughts, and your thoughts will ultimately dictate your decisions. What are you training yourself to do? Be vessels of honor. Sanctified, the Word of God says, sanctified. A vessel in sanctification, separated from the worldly things, and living unto God. This is where purpose and meaning and joy come from. This is where that sense of being clean comes from. How many believers wish they would feel clean? Well, stop entertaining dishonor. Entertain honor. Entertain the things of God. Entertain the Spirit of God. Entertain the things of faith. Entertain the things that are eternal. Entertain the finished work. Entertain the things that are the character of the Savior. And you will be a vessel of honor. In humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. In Proverbs 21:21, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor. Why is it that I have so much trouble finding righteousness? Are you fellowshipping with righteousness or unrighteousness? Why is it that I have so much trouble overcoming my lust patterns? Are you fellowshipping with righteousness or unrighteousness? What is it that you are fellowshipping with? Well, the people that I hang around are righteous. Yes, that's well and good. But what are you looking at on the television or on the computer? Is it righteousness or unrighteousness? Like, why are you entertained by shows that glamorize sin and wonder why you have a problem with lust patterns? Well, of course you have a problem with lust patterns. You've been feeding them. Have a clean mind. Have a clean heart. Let your frame of reference be purity and truth, not the things of the world that destroy, but purity and truth, and you become a vessel of honor. A vessel that has life in it. A vessel that has virtue that comes from God. Young people need to understand something. No greater beauty exists than the purity of God in the mind and then in the body. There is no greater beauty that exists than the purity of God in the mind and the body, because purity is truly beautiful. Let us be vessels of honor. There is no man who is so manly as the man of God, who is a vessel of honor. There is no woman who is as beautiful as a woman of God, who is a vessel of honor. There is no life that is as meaningful as the life that comes from being a vessel of honor. There is nothing as fulfilling in existence as being a vessel of honor. There is no greater confidence and satisfaction than being a vessel of honor. There is no cleaner conscience than that which belongs to a vessel of honor. Let us be vessels of honor, not of dishonor. Let's be vessels of honor. He who follows righteousness and mercy. Do you understand the value of mercy? That's why we have anything to do with God. Because of mercy. He who follows righteousness and mercy. And by the way, you will never find righteousness apart from mercy. Because even if you do everything right, if it's done in the flesh, it's simply a self-righteousness. And you know what? None of us have done anything right. None of us have done everything right. Righteousness is from the mercy of God. Righteousness and mercy fill a vessel of honor. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life and righteousness and honor. He who follows after righteousness and honor finds righteousness and life and honor. Never allow yourself to become a vessel of dishonor. Never. Why? It's not just because it's a failure. We all have momentary failure. God forbid it be any more than that. But even then. But you see, these are eternal things. I was thinking yesterday about the Bema seat. And I was thinking, okay, God will not bring up my sins. But why do some people walk away ashamed? And some people walk away with great joy? Because while they were on earth, some people were vessels of honor. And they walk away from the Bema seat with great joy. But some people were vessels of dishonor. And they walk away with great shame. Some people have divine virtue while here on earth because they've received it from God and responded to Him in faith to have the Holy Spirit through the Word of God transform their lives. And some people walk in their emotions or their natural thinking or their natural efforts, or maybe they walk according to their openly according to their old sin nature. But folks, one way or the other, it's the good side of the tree or the bad. Eve ate at the good side. Eve did not eat at the evil side. She ate at the good side. And it produced the same death. No. What she should have done was been a vessel of honor. Whereby she trusted God at His Word. And lived in faith rest toward what God told her. And but that would have brought in faith obedience. But she said, well, that is the good side. That was just as satanic as the evil side. In Ezekiel 31, that's Satan's tree, good or evil. It's Satan's tree. We eat at the tree of life. That's God's tree. So we eat at the tree of life. To be vessels of honor. We eat from the finished work. We eat from God's character. We eat from faith. We eat from forgiveness. Gentleness. We eat from the fruits of the Spirit. This is a vessel of honor. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's be vessels of honor. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, this is why, if for no other reason, then this is why be vessels of honor. If it is not in your heart, if the love of God is not in your heart sufficiently that you would not want to be a vessel of dishonor, then at least for this reason, if no other reason, be a vessel of honor. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. What does that mean? The pastor lays your foundation, you build on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You're building on the foundation that the master builder laid down for you. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Folks, what do we receive at the Bema Seat? There are several types of things that we receive in heaven. One of them, which is not mentioned in this passage, is a covering of glory, light. But that's not a Bema Seat reward. That's due to the things that we take in now. But what are the rewards at the Bema Seat? Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold. What is gold? Gold is faith. When you see gold, especially in the New Testament, but also it's a typology for faith. When the works that you do are works out of faith obedience or a faith response to God, when you live in a faith rest, that's gold. Those are works of gold. In 1 Peter 1:7, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When I respond to God in faith, when I live in faith, rest in faith, obedience, when I hear from the Spirit or I read from the Word of God, and I maybe receive a rhema, and I take the rhema and I store it in my heart in faith, waiting on God, that's gold. When God gives me a call and I respond to the call in faith, even though it makes no sense to me by sight, but I respond to the call in faith, that's gold. When I trust Him in the circumstances, in the trials of my life, without being anxious, that's gold. That's gold. Heaven's gold is better than earth's. Heaven's gold does not perish. Silver speaks of the Word of God. Speaking and receiving the Word of God. When my thoughts and my conversation are the Word of God, I don't have to be quoting Scripture necessarily, but my thoughts and my conversation are the Word of God. The Word of God is in my frame of reference. That's silver. When the things that I say and the things that I think about, when their foundation is the Word of God, that's silver. That's an eternal reward. When I get together with people and instead of chattering about meaningless things all the time, I have conversation that is basically in the Word of God, even though I'm not trying to be religious, but I love the Word of God and I love the heart of God and I love the character of God and I love God to the point I can't think about anything else. That's silver. Okay, I don't mind talking football for 5 minutes, but after 5 minutes, you know what? Let's talk about God. Let's talk about His Word. Let's have real eternal fellowship. Silver. Let's have some silver. Precious stones. The things that are done out of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Those are the precious stones. You love people, and so you tell them about Christ. You give people the heart of God. Oh, somebody does you wrong, but you're kind to them anyway. Somebody does something and maybe the flesh wants to well up and be sarcastic, but you're not, because you know that the Holy Spirit is not sarcastic towards that person. You know that you don't want to damage that person's capacity with your natural sarcasms or natural preference or natural element that is fellowshipping with the world and with Satan. And you don't want to hurt that person's capacity for God with those things. We all have those things, by the way. I give them according to what they need, not according to what I think they deserve. I'm giving them precious stones. I'm receiving precious stones and I'm giving them precious stones. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I love that person and so I do not want to harm them. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I love the lost and so I win the lost. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I love God and so that in my life I glorify God because it glorifies Him and no other reason. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I trust God. And I don't care about sight, but because God said it, I trust Him. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Precious stones. We get rewarded eternally for these things, guys. Vessels of honor are vessels of reward. Vessels of honor are the ones who are well off in heaven. There are some who are better off than others. No one is really badly off in heaven, obviously. No one is miserable in heaven. But there are some who are ashamed. There are people who don't agree with this, and maybe they're right, but my own belief from the way I read the Bible is that the shame will last 1,000 years. Why do I say that? Because it's not until after the white throne that the tears are wiped away. And I realize they're talking about the tears that are shed because of the lost that are going to hell. But the principle, I believe, still holds true. The memory is cleansed and the tears are wiped away after the white throne. How can I not have shame if I know that I had all kinds of opportunities to be a vessel of honor and I forsook them in favor of being a vessel of dishonor? How can I not have shame if I know that I could have had gold, silver and precious stones by my own choices, and I know that I don't have gold, silver and precious stones by my own choices? And so God will wipe away that memory, but not until 1,000 years after the Bema Seat. The Bema Seat happens after the rapture. The earth is being judged, but so is the believer in a different sort of a way. Every man's work will be manifest, and some will be gold, silver, and precious stones. Hey guys, take it for what it's worth. Every man's work will be made manifest. What if I sinned? He can't remember the sins that you have confessed, but the loss will be evident. He won't bring up your failures, but the loss will be evident. Every man's work will be made manifest. Or whether it was wood, hay, and stubble. We either get gold, silver, and precious stones, or we get wood, hay, and stubble. There's going to be a fire that tests our works. The fire does not start at the Bema Seat. The fire does not even take place at the Bema Seat. Where does the fire take place? Well, 1 Peter 1:7. The genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory. May be found under praise, honor, and glory. The test of the fire comes now. And how do I receive that gold, silver, and precious stone? By operating in faith now. By when the test comes, I live in a faith response and a faith obedience and a faith rest. And I operate in that faith now. And this is where the gold, silver, and precious stones come. Because when the fire comes now, the test, I respond in faith. I don't get anxious, I don't run, I don't get scared, I don't start doubting, I don't get negative. I respond in faith. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Or wood, hay, and stubble. I don't do things in faith. I don't live in faith. I don't respond in faith. I don't simply wait on God in faith. I go into wood, hay, and stubble. What does that mean? Wood. I do things out of the natural effort. Wood speaks of man. This is why the ark of God was made of wood. That's the man. It's talking about the man. The presence of God, the law of God is written on a man's heart. It's inside the man. The law, the tablets were inside the ark. The wood is the man. The ark was overlaid with gold. That's a man of faith. Carries the presence of God. The man of faith is the vessel of honor. Just like the ark was the vessel of honor, and in that vessel, that was the presence of God. The vessel of honor carries the presence of God. A man of faith. Wood covered in gold. Wood. Things not done in faith, but out of natural effort. Things done in the effort of the flesh, whether they be good or bad, it doesn't make any difference. Things done in the effort of the flesh. Out of the natural man, out of natural reasoning, out of natural thinking, out of natural understanding. Effort of the flesh. Hey, things done in the emotions. I respond to something in my emotions, whether it's on the good side of the tree or the evil. That means I can respond in sentimentality and go completely off from God, or I can respond, let's say, in lust and go completely out from God. Either way, it's hay. Things done in the emotions. By the way, folks, never indulge your emotions. Pay attention to this one. This one is important. Never indulge your emotions. Why? You are training yourself to live in lust patterns. Never indulge your emotions. You're training yourself to live in lust patterns. Lust patterns come through the emotions. That is my connection to lust patterns. It's the emotions. The person who indulges their emotions strengthens their lust patterns. You never indulge those. If they crop up, you cast down every imagination in a high thing that exalts itself against God. You push them aside. Yes, they may be real feelings, but real feelings are really no such thing. Real feelings are simply illusions that I take seriously. The delusion of an emotion teaches me how to live in a lust pattern. Let your emotions respond to truth from God through faith rest, through trusting Him, through faith obedience, through righteousness. If I have humility and fear of the Lord, if I pursue after righteousness and mercy, my emotions will be responding to the things of God and they will be the emotions of a vessel of honor. But if I am responding to my emotions, that is that which is of a vessel of dishonor. Because what does it mean to be responding to my emotions? It means, number one, that I'm not thinking with God. And number two, I'm responding to that which is responding to everything. Sin comes because of emotions. Lust comes because of emotions. Failure comes because of emotions. Eve fell because of her emotions. If I'm indulging my emotions, I'm training myself to live in lust patterns. Never indulge your emotions. Fellowship with the Word of God. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the things of God, and your emotions will be incredibly healthy. Indulge your emotions, and your emotions will be incredibly sick. Folks, let's be vessels of honor. Let's not be vessels of dishonor. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's be vessels that trust God and respond to Him. Let's be vessels that live God's way and do things God's way. Let's be vessels that are not anxious but that know how to wait upon the Lord. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's be vessels that don't live in their emotions. Let's be vessels where the emotions respond to the things of God. Let's be vessels of honor. Do you know how incredibly important it is to be a vessel of honor? Think about it for a second. Is your life a life of honor? Or is it a life of dishonor? Let's be vessels of honor. If it is not a life of honor, if it is not a life of honor, then confess it to God. And let Him train you by drawing near to Him. I'm changed by God by drawing near to Him. So if you have not had, and I don't think this is not an indictment against anybody. If you have not had a life where you are a vessel of honor, then confess it to God. Draw near to Him and let Him turn you into a vessel of honor. Respond in faith. Draw near to His Word. Let Him turn you into a vessel of honor. The loss is profound and it's eternal to have dishonor in my life. The opportunities you have, you get only once. Because you had an opportunity to glorify Him. And if you did not, the opportunity is gone. We all have situations like that in our lives where we didn't glorify Him. But we all have loss. also. Glorify God. Be a vessel of honor. Don't follow the emotions. They don't know anything. They have no brain. They simply respond to whatever comes along. If I am a vessel of honor, what comes along is God. Let's be vessels of honor. And stubble, the things that were aborted. You ever meet someone who starts and quits, starts and quits, starts and quits, starts and quits? That's stubble. They started and quit because they didn't know how to be sustained by God. And the things that you do that are of God, be sustained by Him. If I am doing things on my own, of my own accord, it will not be a sustaining thing. But if I am doing things out of the quickening of the Holy Spirit, where He puts it in my heart and He energizes me to do it through His character, then I'm sustained. Stubble is the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the opposite of the precious stones. Of that life that is a vessel of honor, that's the only life to have. Why? Because that's the only place there is life. There is no life apart from being a vessel of honor. There is no gain. There is no reward. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's be vessels of honor. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if the man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, that he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now here's the third part. What is a vessel of honor? What is the characteristic of a vessel of honor? You see, we are all human. We all have a sin nature. We all live in the world, and we all have an enemy who walks to and fro seeking how he may devour us. He tries to sift every one of us as wheat. When Jesus said to Peter, "Satan has desired to sift you as wheat," it was not an indicator of Peter, it was an indicator towards the disciples. You could say, Satan has tried to sift you all as wheat. We have an enemy. We all have failures. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what does it mean? How do I become a vessel of honor? The vessel of honor, folks, is the overcomer. The vessel of honor is not the vessel that has no weaknesses, because we all have weaknesses. The vessel of honor is the vessel that overcomes. The vessel of honor is not the vessel that is never tempted, because we are all tempted. The vessel of honor is the one that overcomes temptation, does not submit or succumb to temptation. That's the vessel of honor. Temptation is not sin. What is sin? When I give in to temptation, it's sin. We all get tempted, the vessel of honor overcomes. If I fail, I get up again. And I become a vessel of honor. In Revelation 2:26, this is what happens to the vessels of honor. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Broken into shivers is not a negative thing. Even as I was, he said. What it's talking about is picking up my cross. What it's talking about is reckoning myself dead indeed unto self. That's what that's talking about. And they get power over the nation. This is the ruling crowd, folks. This is the crowd that has an unusual intimacy with the Savior. This is the crowd that is God's inner circle. You like going to the raps and you like going to the rap set. Imagine if God was doing the rap after the rap. This is the crowd there. They rule over nations and they rule them as the rod of iron. It's talking about strong doctrine. It does not talk about hostility or brute force or whatever. It's talking about strength of doctrine. It's talking about a strong application of the Word of God. And I will give them the morning star. The vessels of honor, folks, are not the ones who didn't fail, are the ones who overcame the failure. Those are the vessels of honor. And those are the vessels that get the morning star. Not everybody in heaven is equal. Some reign, some do not. Some have brilliant coats of glory and some do not. Some of them, you think you're looking into a spotlight, and some of them, you think you're barely looking into a 5-watt light bulb. The vessels of honor are the morning star crowd, folks. The vessels of honor are the morning star crowd. The morning star crowd has the deepest, most intimate relationship with the Savior, not only here on earth, but in heaven through all of eternity. I don't know about you, but I want to be the morning star crowd. But folks, the morning star comes with a price: overcoming. It's not the crowd that never had anything to overcome. It's not the crowd that always had it easy. It's the crowd that overcame. It's the crowd that fell on their face, got up, got right, and showed glory to God in His grace and His mercy. That's the Morning Star crowd. It's the crowd that may have been weak but trusted God. It's the crowd that had no sight but walked by faith. That's the Morning Star crowd. That's the overcomer. Folks, the Morning Star doesn't go to every believer. It only goes to the vessels of honor. It goes to the overcomers. To him in Revelation 3:21, that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne. I sit with God on the throne if I am the morning star crowd. I sit with Christ. I fellowship. I am with them if I am the morning star crowd. I'm the one that's there all the time if I am the morning star crowd with the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit and me. That's if I am the morning star crowd. In Revelation 3:5, he that overcome, the same shall be clothed in a white raiment. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angel. What is that talking about? That's a confession at the Bema seat. And get this, it starts now. And it continues in eternity. The white raiment starts now and it continues in eternity. The vessels of honor start now and continue in eternity. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 3, now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and he stood before the angel and he answered and spoke unto them, unto those that stood before him, saying, take away Joshua's filthy garments. And then he said, I clothe thee with a change of raiment. That is the vessel of honor. Joshua was a vessel of dishonor. That was the raiment. That was the filthy garment. He was a vessel of dishonor. And God said, turn him into a vessel of honor, and he became on earth a vessel of honor, and the change of raiment, the white garment, continued in heaven. Folks, why do you think it says on earth as it is in heaven? Because it starts on earth and it continues in heaven. I'm a vessel of honor on earth, and I get a white raiment on earth as a vessel of honor. That's what it means, having a white raiment, and I continue it in heaven. And it shows up as a light of glory. In Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. It's talking about the new character of the vessel of honor. It's talking about a manifestation of God. It's talking about, I don't leave the temple anymore. Although I work in the world, I live in the temple of God. The Holy Spirit is alive in my body. He is functioning. He is working. He is thinking. He is producing His character in me. I do not go out of the temple anymore. It is where I live. It is a part of who I am, and I am a part of that temple. A pillar of the temple. I don't go out anymore. I don't go out anymore after that which is worldly. I live with the Holy Spirit of God. I fellowship with Him. I commune with Him. I have the richness of His life and the richness of His joy and the richness of His peace. I have richness and peace that passes understanding because I have a communion with God. That's the vessel of honor. That's the morning star cloud. That's the overcomer. Oh, it didn't start that way, but it became that way. Because I had faith responses to God in the process. And even if I had an isolated moment of failure, I got up again out of a faith response to God's forgiveness. I'm a vessel of honor. And I'm an overcomer. And I get the morning star. In Revelation 2:7, in the B part of the verse, to him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Do you understand what the tree of life is? The tree of life gives me understanding in the Word of God that is unique and special only to a handful, a few believers. It is only given to the morning star crowd. It is only given to the vessels of honor. It is only given to the overcomers. We get the tree of life. We get special revelations and special insight and understanding and knowledge of the character and the nature and the thoughts of God. That's the tree of life crowd. That's why it says in Revelation 2:17 in the B part of the verse, to him that overcome will I give to eat the hidden manna. It's hidden manna. It's hidden manna. It's not manna given to everybody. It's hidden manna, the secret things of God. Even secret from many believers. Only those who are in the inner sanctum of the morning star order eat from the tree of life. The overcomers, the vessels of honor. The ones who live with God in faith. The ones who simply trust Him and respond out of that trust. The ones who believe Him for their lives and don't get anxious to try to find things of their own. The ones who know how to recover when they fail. The ones who practice rebound, and if they sin, they confess their sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive them. Those are the vessels of honor. That's the tree of life crowd. That's the morning star order. Those are the ones with a deep intimacy with the Savior. the vessels of honor. And in this stone, a new name. I give them a white stone, a pure life. I get a pure life. He could take the stones and make them into children of Abraham. We are the stone. We're lively stones. He's talking about a new life, a new man, a new believer, a new creation. And I will make him a new creation. And the old things are passed away and they are no longer a part of him. They are no longer a part of his frame of reference. They are no longer a part of him. They're no longer a part of the way he thinks. They're no longer a part of the way he acts. They're no longer a part of his life in any way whatsoever. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. And he has a new white stone with a new character. And it's written on his heart, according to tablets written in his heart, not of stone but of flesh, where the law is written, the precepts in the mind of God in his frame of reference. It is a new name. And nobody can tell it. Nobody knows it except the one who receives it. But the one who receives it is the vessel of honor. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's be vessels of honor. Like in the things you do, in the people you talk to, your daily circumstances, guys, in secular college or in Bible college, it really doesn't matter. Flesh is everywhere. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's have the life of God. Let's carry God in our vessel, not sin. Let's carry faith in our vessel, not lust. Let's carry the fruit of the Spirit in our vessel, not the flesh, the old sin nature manifesting itself in its attitudes and reactions. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's be vessels that carry the glory of God. The heart of God. The heart of God. The nature of God. The mercy of God. The character of God. Let's be vessels of honor. Not giving in to the things of the world or to temptation or the flesh, to Satan's initiations. But resting in the faith and love of the Savior. Trusting Him for our lives. Trusting Him for the details in every step we take. Let's be vessels of honor. Amen.